Howdy! Thanks for tuning into Orion Photo Group's exclusive podcast. For each episode, we're going to dive into the lives of OPG's photographers and videographers across the country. We're going to talk shop, hear their stories, and listen to any advice they want to offer us up. So grab a tasty beverage and settle in for some fun conversations featuring our little community. That's you. Let's go! All right. So I start these episodes by counting down by five and always have a problem with my fingers. Anyway, welcome to this episode of Success Stories. I hope you guys are doing well out there. Not sure when we're going to launch this episode, but it's warming up here, summertime here in St. Louis. And I am joined today by a fabulous photographer, Sarah Robinson from Salt Lake City. Sarah, say hello.
Hey, it is also warming up here in Salt Lake, finally. It was a long, long winter here in Salt Lake. If anyone is listening from Salt Lake, you know what I mean. It was raining, snowing, end of April, beginning of May. And I looked out my window, and I was so upset. I was like, I have had enough. I've had enough skiing. I'm done, ready for the summer. It's finally starting to feel like summer. So I'm so happy about that.
Now, are you from Salt Lake City originally?
I'm originally from Phoenix, okay. And so I was really upset.
Yeah, I bet.
I really love the winters in Phoenix, not so much the winters in Salt Lake, so.
Yeah, and then, I don't know a ton about Salt Lake City. I've never really spent any time there other than flying through on Delta. That's the only time I've spent any time in Salt Lake City.
The thing Salt Lake is known for, and that's one of them, is the Delta Hub, so.
I mean, it's a good airport to fly through. Many times when I'm flying from St. Louis to the West Coast, I'll wind up going through there. But so from what I understand about Salt Lake is that, you do get a lot of snow and lots of winter sports and stuff can be done there. But from what I understand, it's very beautiful. So like it snows for a long period of time, then the sun comes out. And you can kind of get outside, but it doesn't get super cold, or am I wrong in that sense?
It doesn't get in the negatives very often,
right.
But the inversion, so since there's mountains on both sides, all of the pollution gets trapped in.
Okay.
It's a phenomenon known as the inversion, and it's actually pretty terrible. This past winter, the air quality was as bad as Beijing or worse than Beijing.
Wow.
A few days.
Okay.
Just because of all of the pollution getting trapped with the cold air and the hot air, trapping it in. I'm not really a scientist, but I just know it was bad and you couldn't see the sun. So,
yeah, as bad as Beijing, that's pretty bad.
Oh, I am so sorry about that.
I've been in Beijing and Shanghai when smog was really bad, and that's pretty bad. So, all right, well, that's global warming for you. Anyway, yeah. This episode's about you. We don't know each other very well, and I wanted to interview some people from the Salt Lake City area because it's a new market for us, and you're one of, I think, about a half a dozen photographers that we have there, and we're really excited to open up that new market, and... I just thought it would be interesting to find a little bit about the Salt Lake City market. But before we actually, let's start there and then we'll talk about you a little bit more. Tell me, as far as what makes the Salt Lake City market unique or different than any other city?
Yeah, so the Salt Lake City bridal market, particularly, we have a lot of younger brides, right. Younger couples who get married. And they have a very short engagement time.
Yeah.
And in addition, not a lot of budget. And so that's mm-hmm. always kind of a unique challenge, is especially as a photographer, that tends to be at the bottom of mm-hmm.
yeah.
what people are wanting to spend money on, especially when there's a shorter engagement or a lower budget. And because of the strong religious population here, a lot of people don't really, it is starting to shift a little bit where people are wanting to pay more for a venue now. But that's been interesting to navigate is trying to show the client the value that you bring to a table as a photographer.
Right.
That they want to capture this really important day and you want to have these memories preserved forever. So that's been interesting. In addition to that, there is also in Salt Lake, particularly just in general, not necessarily only in the bridal market, there is a very big sentiment of like, you want to get a bargain, and like self-reliance is a very big, it's a just in general, self-reliance is a very big, important, I can't remember the word for it. Not a standard, but just a value.
Okay.
Like self-reliance is a very strong value here in Utah. And with self-reliance comes, you know, wanting to, we're just going to cut this out. I can't remember.
No. So, you know, so couples are looking for a bargain or the best deal that they could possibly get. They need to feel when they walk away from signing with you that they have gotten the best deal possible. And that's self-reliance as a young person. This is probably one of the first tasks as a young couple to seek this out. And exactly what you're saying is are things that I've heard from other photographers that I've known who work in Salt Lake. And yes, being a big LDS community, it's also can be very insular. So once you kind of get yourself into a community known for that bargain, you can do very well for yourself as long as they feel like they're walking away with that bargain. Does that kind of encapsulate?
Even if the couple isn't LDS, like I've found personally, I myself am not LDS, but I have found that those values are still there. I mean, the state was founded by, LDS people. And so it's really been interesting to see how those values stick with the people who live here, even if they aren't LDS or aren't LDS anymore. The value of self-reliance and finding a good bargain and like just wanting to get the best deal possible is still so strong with the community here. Specifically, like you were saying, how this is the first time that younger people have kind of had to make a bigger purchase with a wedding. It's interesting how photography fits into that.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But on the flip side, being younger people, I have also found that they're very, very much engaged in getting great pictures and spending time getting great pictures if you're willing to give them the time. And that's being, I'm originally from the East Coast, so being from New York, that was one thing that I always kind of, and you have beautiful, beautiful places to go and photograph there. I was always a little jealous of, you know, the amount of time and you know, the aspects of the lengths that you would go to for good shoots was also there too. But of course, you're giving away a lot of free time to get to and from those places and take lots of pictures. I do have a question for you on the LDS side. So not being part of that community, what have been your challenges of dealing with that as a photographer, not being in the community? Or has there been any?
So I used to be LDS. Actually even went to BYU, and that's where I got my degree in design and in photography.
Okay.
I don't know. It has been interesting. I feel like, in my experience, sometimes it's a little bit harder to, break into that clientele, but also there's plenty of clientele here who is not looking for that experience.
Sure.
Specifically like the LGBTQ community here is definitely not like they're looking for people who celebrate them and welcome them. And there's plenty of LDS photographers who do celebrate and welcome them. But I've found in my experience, they tend to lean more towards people who have that on their website or have like a little bit more diverse of a portfolio on their website.
Sure. Yeah. And that totally makes sense. And I know that LGBTQ community out there is growing, which is a nice thing to, you know, to hear about and see. Getting started in that community will be a good thing for your career. You're a younger person. So, celebrating that is great. I'm glad to hear that. All right, cool. So let's talk about your start. So you kind of hinted at it. I always love to hear about, so my first question that I always ask is, what was the spark? What made you become a photographer? Where did that come from?
Yeah. I started in photography in high school. I shot a lot of families, and then I shot a few weddings in high school. And then early on in college, I continued to shoot weddings. And then I got really burnt out of weddings and switched over to commercial.
I see that on your website. Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually do a lot of commercial work now too. Until just recently, I started switching back over to weddings and taking like the art direction and a lot of the styling that I really enjoy with commercial into weddings. And I think the difference is now, is that I've grown a lot and matured a lot and realized that I can say no when it comes to clients and be a lot more picky with who I take on as a photographer. And that has been a lot more empowering to me, because I would shoot weddings before, I would get so burnt out. I feel like, I don't know if it's like this in other industries, but particularly in my experience in the Utah industry or in, just in the Utah industry, I feel like I sometimes have to present as a very like peppy, extroverted photographer. And that is maybe just not that, well, not maybe, that is just not me at all. I tend to be a little bit more laid back. I can direct people if I need to for family photos, but I tend to be a lot more of a documentary type style on the wedding day, and direct maybe the bride and groom a little bit to get some nice artistic shots, and then step back. And just being able to have that confidence in myself and my ability now to photograph and direct, versus feeling like I needed to show up as a different photographer than the person who I actually am, has really changed the game for me as a wedding photographer, and I've started to enjoy it more again.
Yeah, I often introverted people, and I'm assuming that's what you're saying. Introverted people make great photographers and artists, because they take so much in. But when they have to interact with a lot of people, I'm a complete opposite. I'm a huge extrovert, and I have no issues with being in large crowds of people and asserting myself and stuff like that, which, you know, is a different set of challenges as a wedding photographer as well, because it's always my challenge to not be too overbearing during a wedding day. But at the same time, quite often what I find with introverts is, they get burned out on weddings because, you know, that day of talking and being in front is exhausting, and you need a lot of time to charge up. So during a busy wedding season, that bank, that tank can get really empty. So I totally understand where you're coming from that. And I think the more you do it, the better you'll get at managing that tank. But I mean, even as an extrovert, you get burned out as a wedding photographer. You need to do different things. But you're one of the few people, not a lot of people go to art school or photography school as a wedding photographer. Many people stumble into it. So I want to ask you, about your experience about, going to college for art and, kind of how that shaped you. And I always ask, would you do it again? Would you pay for art school again?
So I didn't go to art school to be a wedding photographer at all. Okay. I went to art school I sit back and I wonder why I went to art school sometimes. I felt like I needed a college degree.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times when I was in high school, I felt like art was kind of the only thing that I was good at, which is kind of like the sad truth of it.
But, there's nothing sad about that.
But I would I go back and do it all again? I enjoyed my time at art school, and I learned a lot of things that really help me now. Mm-hmm. I enjoy teaching. I went back and taught for a little bit as an adjunct, and I know that I really enjoy that. And I also think art school really helped me be comfortable in getting criticism from other professionals.
Professionals,
that is something that I've noticed let me rephrase this. I would go back to art school again because it has really helped me get comfortable with receiving criticism from other professionals.
Yeah.
And that is something that is really important if you want to grow in any industry. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I could have learned that just on my own as easily. So.
Yeah. And that's probably one of the most valuable things about going to art school is attending those critique sessions, getting feedback from professionals and your professors, and learning how to take brutal criticism. Is not something that many of us sit in on these days. It's why I always really push people to join after they leave art school or haven't gone to art school to enter print competitions or any kind of photography competitions where there's feedback that you can get, any kind of feedback that you can get, and then being able to accept that feedback. And the more you do it, the better you get at it, and then it makes you a better photographer because you're just pointing out all the things. Quite often in the beginning, they're pointing out things that is so completely obvious, and you're like, why did I submit that photo in the first place? And then you get better at critiquing your own images before you actually submit. And that's where I think the real growing process happens in that sense. So beyond wedding photography, I see that you do some commercial work. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the things that you offer and what you've been up to and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I have been taking a little break, but I'm getting back into it. I offer product photography and lifestyle photography. Mm-hmm. I primarily focus on food and beverage as well as beauty. Mm-hmm. And I also am learning about, I'm taking a few digital marketing courses. So okay. I'm looking for I've been looking for an in-house position for the past 8 months now. Mm-hmm. So if anyone out there is hiring, let me
hear
know.
That people. Yeah.
Yeah. But I am really interested in more of like digital marketing and things like that. I would love to marry my love of design and content creation with the analytics of marketing. I've done that for a few of my retainer clients so far, and I would love to do that in-house for a company.
And I think when I was listening to you also do a podcast, which I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I think you talked about that a little bit or spoke. You were talking about it with, I think you were doing it with another person. And you know, so one of my questions to you on the commercial side, especially with product photography, I've spent an extensive amount of time doing product and fashion photography many years ago, with so much advancement in AI, I think that product photography is going to become much easier in a lot of senses. And I'm just curious, you know, where you find, you know, it's really growing in that area. Have you experimented with that at all?
Yeah, I have experimented with like feeding AI prompts and things like that.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting, but I'm going to be honest, I don't have enough knowledge to have like a good opinion on it right now.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that it's really interesting, and I think if you are too scared, if you're a product photographer and you're freaked out about it, you should probably just learn about it, which is what I'm doing right now. And because if you just get freaked out and you're scared, then
Where you just
I
get
mean,
frozen in time and
you're
you're
gonna
not going
get
to do
frozen, and that's
anything.
fine. I mean, if you want to be frozen, that's your choice. But just learning about it and learning how to use new tools, they're nothing but new tools. So.
Cool. As far as and I do think that the world of being able to create content and social media for companies alongside of product photography, I think that's going to be the biggest growing sector for people like yourself. I'm an old man and I had to promise my teenage daughter I would never post on TikTok. So
Yeah.
I think that the growing aspect of that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that and anything interesting that you're seeing with that or any trends or whatnot.
With TikTok, is that what
TikTok
you're?
or creating content for clients and things like that.
Yeah, something that a lot of my clients have liked is UGC video. So I'll be on like a commercial shoot, and I started adding it initially as like just a fun little add-on. But a lot more clients have been asking for it as like I started adding it as a fun little like, look, I just captured these. I already had the setup, and then I just moved it over to some natural light, had the models use their hands as quick little UGC video. And then I started offering that as, I can't even remember how much, but
Right, just an
something
add-on to what
cheap
you're
for
doing. Yeah,
video.
sure.
Yeah. And that has been really helpful. And well, not really helpful. That has been really successful in adding just a little bit extra to the shoot that's fairly simple.
For you.
For me, yes.
Right, which but I mean a huge value add to a commercial shoot is being able to create all that content that you're doing at the same time. That has to be huge. Okay, cool. Talk to me about your podcast a little bit.
Yeah, my podcast that I do with my co-host Whitney Finniff, she's also a commercial and product photographer. She focuses a lot on beauty, and she also went to school with me, and she's also no longer LDS, so it's kind of fun. We have a podcast called The Creative Lab, and we talk about all things photography and creative. It's called The Creative Lab. We named it that because if you've ever done like any type of lab class at art school, the lab portion of the class just becomes anyone in that class like knows anything that's going on with your life typically. And I don't know if you did you go to art school, Jason?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm laughing because it was many, many years ago for me, but the lab was the place.
The lab was the place. I was the photo lab manager, and so like I knew everyone in the degree. It was just kind of funny. And so that's why we named it the Creative Lab, was just because we wanted to kind of create that same environment where we just talk about, things that are going on, things that have to do with, creative entrepreneurship or motherhood. My co-host is a mother, and just how those things go together.
That's all. My first impression was that is a great name because for creative people, and I have very fond memories of Thursday, Friday, even Saturdays in the lab and
Oh, yeah.
the dark room, and it was New York in the 90s, so we smoked cigarettes and drank a little bit too. So it was probably a little different than your lab, but the same aspect was there, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, one of my favorite memories is for finals, everyone had to be there late, and the buildings were closing. And so we're like, let's try and black out the doors so the security guard can't see us. And if any of like my old professors, they aren't listening to this, guaranteed. But like we would like put cardboard, the black mat board up against it. So like if you shined a flashlight through, they wouldn't see it. It was so funny. But yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, and I'm sure that the security guard, it wasn't the first time that the security guard.
No, we definitely took lessons.
That's funny. Cool. Well, let's talk about your, so you joined OPG. I think it's mainly only been 6 months, and I'm not sure. Have you shot any weddings for us at this point yet?
No, I haven't
Okay.
because there hasn't been any
Okay. Yeah.
really
Yeah.
out
So
yet.
we're still getting off the ground. So I was curious what your experience was with us. Don't worry, it's coming, and
Yeah.
there will be some weddings, and hopefully we can get. I looked at your portfolio. You do great work. Definitely looks like you lean towards, and I'm just going to get it in front of me here. So there was definitely a question I wanted to ask you. Definitely lean towards natural light and tons and tons of outdoor stuff. So
Yeah.
any advice to those of people shooting available light outdoor weddings in Salt Lake City?
I would also get comfortable with artificial light because in Salt Lake City, I don't think I have a lot of artificial light on my portfolio specifically with OPG, but in Salt Lake City, the lighting can change with the drop of a hat, especially because the weather can change with the drop of a hat. And my best advice would just be to get more comfortable with artificial light. That is another thing that art school taught me, but you don't need to go to art school to figure that out. You can buy a course, you can do just practice with it. That's the best way to figure it out. Because you don't want to be caught in a situation where all of the sudden you don't know how to operate your camera in a way to get a good photo because the cloud moved. So that
That
would be
that's great
my
advice.
suggestion.
Cool. All right. Last question for you. I see you've recently taken up gardening and baking. What's your favorite thing to bake?
My favorite thing to bake, it's basic, but sourdough bread in
Okay.
my Dutch oven.
All right. Is it pandemic?
No, actually, just recently. I didn't start it during the pandemic, probably should have, but just recently.
Yeah, I think I was the only person that didn't try baking bread during the pandemic. Anyway, cool. Well, it's good to get to know you a little bit better. Thank you for sharing your stories with us. Welcome to the Saint Salt Lake City market. Hopefully, you'll start seeing some weddings for this summer soon. Actually, I do have another. What is the season wise? Like, what is the high season? Is it normal summer or is it later or earlier?
It's normally summer
Okay.
and sometimes in the fall
Okay.
because the leaves here are nothing like Midwest,
Sure.
but they're pretty nice.
So Memorial Day to Labor Day is pretty much high
Yeah.
season. Cool. All right. Well, thank you for being on this episode of some Success Stories. Good luck with the podcast. We're going to put a link to it in the show notes. Make sure you guys out there give them some love and take a listen to it, the Creative Lab. And we'll catch you soon. Thank you so much.
Sweet. Thank you so much, Jason.
All right, that'll do it for this episode featuring OPG's Best of the Best. Would you like to be featured in an upcoming episode, or do you have a suggestion for somebody you'd like to hear from in our little community? Please email me, Jake Group with two P's at OrionPhotoGroup.com. That's Jake Group at OrionPhotoGroup.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you and your story. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day.